So who has a Bible with them today? Anybody? You do? All right, you come to the right place then. You came prepared. Yay. Well, we have been discussing, preaching, and talking about, and yelling at you, about the person and work of the Holy Ghost. He is a person, right? He is a person. Can you know a person? Yes, you can know a person. He's a person, and he does a work. He works. If you don't know him as a person, is he going to be doing a lot of work in your life? Probably not, okay? Or if he was, you wouldn't recognize him because you're not acknowledging him as a person. What if you didn't acknowledge me as a person? Am I going to be inclined to come to your house and mow your lawn? Probably not, right? Glory be to God forever. Well, we are going to jump off a different scripture this morning. I'm going to try to hit you out of left field. You'll be like, what? Where did he get that from? 1 Corinthians and chapter 11, glory be to God forever. And if you can't hear me, you know, just raise your hand and I will yell at you even louder. You can't hear me? All right, louder. Glory to God forever. Can you hear me now? See, I can hear myself just fine up here. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm very excited about this. Do you know that sometimes the preachers and stuff don't know what they're talking about before they get into the Word? And then they'll start seeing stuff, and they'll get revelation, right, Lynn? I mean, you get revelation as you're preparing this, you know, and you may think, well, he must have learned that in school, or he's always known that because of his edumacation. No, we learn things as we go on. And then you start out in a series where you know you're going to have, you know, at least 5 or 6 messages. Well, by the time you get to the end message, you've learned so much, it's almost like a completely different topic you're talking about, right? It's not a completely different topic because we're still talking about the person and work of the Holy Ghost, but your perception changes of it because you've immersed yourself in this, in the Word. All right? Glory be to God forever. Anyways, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I believe I have it up there, verse 29. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your holy written word. Thank you that you are now functioning and operating as the teacher. We receive you, Holy Ghost. We acknowledge that you are at work right now among us, and we give you all the glory and the praise and all the credit. We give you place, Holy Spirit. We worship you. We worship you, Holy Ghost, and we thank you. Glory be to God forever. Amen. He that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. This is in the communion part of Scripture, right? Jesus said, as often as you do this, my body and my blood. And then he says to judge yourself, because he that eats and drinks unworthily drinks damnation to what? Himself, right? Just damnation to yourself. Everybody say that. No, don't say that. You're eating and drinking, and the reason is not discerning the Lord's body. Now, how many of you were here when we talked about the gift of the discerning of spirits? And we went on at length talking about the gift of the discerning of spirits, and then we got into the word discerning. We realized the number one spirit we're supposed to be discerning is the work of the Holy Spirit. So when he moves on you with a gift to go and talk to somebody or do something that you normally wouldn't do, you're discerning that this is him speaking to you. And then I made a bold statement about how that this is probably the preeminent gift, because you wouldn't know any of the other gifts if you weren't discerning that it was him doing something, right? So now you begin to, your ears perk up and you're discerning that, hey, the Holy Spirit's doing something now, right? And we're all getting better at that. Glory be to God. Here, he uses the exact same word for discerning. Right? The discerning of spirits is a gift of the Holy Ghost. Discerning is the same word, the Lord's body. This is an operation of the Holy Ghost, right, Rich? He's going to cause you to discern the Lord's body. Well, what does this have to do with the Holy Ghost? I'm trying to get that across to you, okay? We're talking about the person and work of the Holy Ghost. And he's going to come on you to cause you to discern the Lord's body. Does anybody remember what was one of the most overwhelming things that Jesus did in his ministry? What was one of the most overwhelming things after the Holy Ghost came on him? What was it? Healing the sick. And casting out demons. But number one, healing the sick. The Holy Ghost, he didn't heal any sick people before the Holy Ghost came on him. Holy Ghost came on Jesus, all of a sudden, he's got a healing ministry, and people came to him from all over. Why? Because it's a work of the Holy Ghost, is to heal sick bodies. It's one of the number one things he does. Right, Alan? I mean, this is just what he does. You invite him to a party, and he plays the fiddle. So if you guys invite somebody to the party and they play the fiddle, what are they going to do when they come to the party? They're going to play their fiddle. All right? The Holy Ghost, the same way. You invite him to the party, what's he going to do? He's going to heal the sick. It's just one of the things he does. Right? Let's invite him to the party. Yeah. Welcome to the party. He that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, many sleep. Well, brother, can you explain to me why so many people in the church are weak and sick? Well, I think I can. They're not discerning the Lord's body, and I'm not making this up, am I? I'm just reading this straight out of the King James Bible. You can read it out of the NIV. It says the same thing, all right? Not discerning the Lord's body. This is why. For this cause. Is this English? It's at least English, right? For this cause, many are weak and sick. What's the cause of sickness and weakness? Not discerning the Lord's body. And hopefully I'll be able to interject how the Holy Ghost works in this discerning of the Lord's body. What are we talking about? Discerning the Lord's body. Remember, the Holy Ghost is the teacher. He's going to come and help you to do this. Ha ha. He's going to come and he's going to help you discern the Lord's body. Right? Okay. I know I got another scripture up here, so glory to God. Matthew chapter 8. Yeah. You are a nut. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. You just made my day. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 16. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his what? His word. Last week, I believe it was, we talked about the Holy Spirit being the spirit of his mouth, Jesus' mouth. And then he cast out the spirit with his what? His eyelid. No, with his word. Why? That's where the Holy Ghost was manifesting himself, in his word. Cast out the spirit with his word and healed all that were sick. Well, we all know in the Bible that Jesus didn't heal everybody. Right there, he healed all that were sick, right? Especially in this one instance, yes, there were times when he went to Nazareth and he there could do no mighty work because of their unbelief. It was a community of unbelief. And he finally just had to leave. But there, it says he healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. The word bear is to mean to bear away, to take it away. This is a fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy, which was to be on the cross. All right? This is the discerning of the Lord's body, that sickness and disease was nailed to the cross. Just like sin was nailed to the cross, every sickness and disease and the cause of all sickness and disease was nailed to the cross. This is a realization you're going to have to come to, and you're going to have to receive that and believe that. Many people believe that Jesus bore their sins, right? Jesus bore my sins on the cross. You receive him as Savior and Lord. Right? But then they stop there. They don't see the rest of what Jesus actually bore on the cross. I've got news for you. If he didn't bear all sickness and disease, he didn't bear all poverty, if he didn't bear all of the curse of the law, right? The Bible said he was made a curse, that we might be made a blessing. If he didn't do that, there could be no complete redemption for you for all eternity. You wouldn't be able to get into heaven unless there be sickness in heaven. He paid the price to bring you all the way in. Complete salvation. Redemption from all the works of the devil. Or he's just a half savior. Is he a half savior? He only saved us from hangnails and toothaches. No, he healed all, and I hope I can get that across to you. There's a reason he could. He had to have a legal right to heal all sickness, and it's because he took away the root cause, which was sin. All right? I realize this is a heavy topic. Some people, you know, would have to deal with this for... And maybe we will at some time. Just go over this and beat this up with a big old baseball bat until you can't get it by you anymore. But the fact is, Jesus bore your sicknesses. He bore your sins. He bore your poverty. He bore all of the curse of the law. Why? So that you could live in it too? So he could take it away. That's what bear means, to take away. He bore it away. They took it in the Old Testament. They would take the sin and whatever it was, and they'd take it outside the camp, into the garbage heap. Do you keep your garbage in your house? Yes, we have a special room in my house where we just take all of our garbage, especially the stinky stuff, and we just pile it up in there, and we push it in. That's our garbage room. No, you take it away, right? You hope they do. Remember the times when in New York they would, you know, they'd have a strike from the garbage people? And my goodness, it would get nasty after a while. All of New York City with the garbage still there. Because the garbage men wanted more money so they could take it away. And so you want to pay them to take it away? Well, Jesus paid to take your sin away. It's garbage. Get it out of your house. Wow, where'd that come from? All right, what are we reading here? 1 Peter 2:24. I'm just going to lightly go over this, hopefully. I know most of you here understand this, but you need to hear it, right? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He said hearing twice, so you at least got to hear it twice. But it's the active sense of the word of a continual hearing. So he says to continually hear, twice. That's a lot of hearing. Yes, and God heals ears so you can hear too. Hee-haw. All right, 1 Peter 2:24. Who? Talking about Jesus. Who his own self bare our sins in his own what? Body. He bare, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree or on the cross, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. You were healed. He bore your sins in his what? In his body. This is the discerning of the Lord's body. If you're not discerning the Lord's body, that he bore your sins and your sicknesses, by his stripes you were healed, in his body, then you're not discerning the Lord's body. And for this cause, many are weak and sick, and many sleep or die, is what he says. Because they're not discerning the fact that sickness was born in Christ's body. And when you start to discern that by the power of the Holy Ghost, this is a work of the Holy Spirit to cause you to understand that my sickness was in Jesus' body. Well, if it's in Jesus' body and he paid the price for it, I don't need it anymore, do I? It's a discerning, and it's something you meditate on. It's something the Holy Spirit can reveal to you. And what happens when faith comes? The manifestation comes, and sickness doesn't plague you anymore. Glory be to God. This is his legal right to heal people. This gave the Holy Spirit the legal right to come on people and heal them. And we'll see that, hopefully. Glory be to God forever. By whose stripes you were healed. And it gives you a license. You can put your name in there, and you should. Write this on your refrigerator. By his stripes, I, Andrew, was healed. I, Rich, was healed. I, Alan, right? You means you, right? Personalize this. That's how you get anything out of the Bible. Yes, Jesus died for the sins of the world. Yeah, but if you don't personalize it and receive his forgiveness, then it means nothing to you. And you're just ignoring this great, so great, the Bible calls it, so great salvation. Would it be so great if healing wasn't involved in it? It'd be mostly great. It's pretty good. But he didn't say that. This is a mostly great salvation, sort of good, all right, for most people. No, he said it's a so great salvation because it includes everything. Deliverance from your enemies, right? Julia, amen, yeah. Yes, all right, let's move on here. Okay, go back there if you can. Yeah, 1 Corinthians. And this is where we're going to hopefully see some stuff we haven't seen before. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks. Let me ask you a question. Eating and drinking, is that an active thing to do? Yes. He that thinks about eating it, and he that had a good thought about drinking it. No, he's talking about active participation. Active participation in discerning the Lord's body. And I'm not talking about, well, if I don't take communion 3 times a week, I won't go to heaven. No, you've got to actively, we're talking about spiritually things here, right? Yeah. Actively participate. Do you ever actively not participate in a meal? You're invited over to somebody's house and you will not participate. But you will sit there at the table and you will pretend to chew things. You get them close to your mouth, and you pretend to chew. No, you're not partaking of what they made for you, right? You need to partake of what Jesus made for you, the Lord's body. Partake of it. Healing is in, by his stripes you are healed. We're discerning what happened in the Lord's body, and we actively partake of it. Did you get that? All right. He that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause are many weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. All right. Let me ask you a question. Where's the Lord's body now? who's the Lord's body now? Who's the body of Christ? Who is the body of Christ? We are. We are now the Lord's body. He said, you're eating and drinking damnation to yourself because you're not discerning the Lord's body. You're not discerning that you are the body of Christ. Members in particular. Does Jesus have any sickness in his body? Does Jesus have any sin in his body? Do you have any sin or sickness in your body? You're the body of Christ. Do you understand? Discern this fact that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost and there is no sickness or sin that has a right in your body. Why? Because it's you and you're so great and wonderful and muscular and you work out 3 times a day and you run 24 miles, you know. No, it's because your body belongs to Him. Discerning the Lord's body. This is part of the blessing of becoming a Christian, is because you become His body. Well, brother, that sounds extreme. Okay, let's just read another scripture, because I happen to have another one up here. 1 Corinthians 3:16. You know, it is a blessing to receive Christ and to be a Christian. People put some kind of weird stigma on it. Well, you know, I'm going to live my life. I'm going to be a movie star. And then I'm going to come. And then maybe when I'm, you know, 80, I'll give my life to Christ so I can die and go to heaven. That is a foolish way to live your life. Blessings come by living for God all the time. Letting the Holy Ghost live in you. He's the smartest thing there is, all right? Why do you want to ignore Him? Don't let Him come in and live large. Sometimes I'll say that, Holy Ghost, come live large in me. He will expand your vision. He'll take you out of muck and mire and He'll put you on a high hill. Yeah, He will. The blessing of the Lord makes rich, right? The blessing of the Lord on you, Alan, will make you rich to do all wonderful things that you couldn't do on your own. The blessing of the Lord on you does that. Blessing on the Lord heals you. All right, what was I reading here? 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know you not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Verse 17, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Where is God the Holy Ghost living now? In you. You become the temple of the living God. Discern that. One of His main jobs, the person and work of the Holy Ghost. When we receive Him as a person, it's the only way you can receive Him. Well, no, I didn't receive the Holy Spirit as a person. I received Him as an energy force that came on me. Makes me tingly every once in a while. No, you didn't receive. You thought you received something, okay? You have to receive Him. Jesus said, when He comes, He shall teach you all things, right? He's a person. So you receive Him as a person. One of His main jobs is to get you to understand that He's there. Can you imagine that? Most Christians will have the Holy Ghost and they just have no idea that the Holy Ghost is even there. The Holy Ghost, creator of heaven and earth, lives on the inside of you and they don't even know it. How undiscerning can you get? All right? His main job, one of His main jobs is to help you to discern that you are the body of Christ, your physical body. And when you begin to discern that not only Jesus bore your sins in his body on the tree, but that your physical body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, you have no place for sickness anymore in your body, my friend. All right? It begins to go away. As you allow the Holy Spirit to move in, He cleans house. He does it. He'll clean up your act. You'll stop watching stupid things on TV. Why? He's cleaning up your act. Same thing He does with you soulishly, He'll do with you physically. All right? Know you not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? What does dwell mean? It means He lives in you. Right? Your physical body is now the house of God, the body of Christ. Glory be to God forever. Romans 8:11. Romans 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. What does the word quicken mean in many other, this is King James, but in many other translations, it means to make alive or to give life. The word mortal, people will take this scripture out of context and they'll say, well, that means when the dead in Christ, those who are dead, right, they will be raised to new life when Jesus comes on His horse with all the saints, 10,000s of His saints, right? But that's out of context because mortal doesn't mean dead. It means subject to death. That means you got to be alive to be subject to death, right? Well, he's mostly dead. Well, then he's still mortal. Some people are like that, mostly dead. It's like mostly pregnant. Yeah. No, you're either pregnant or you're not, right? You're either dead or you're alive. So when you are alive, the job of the Holy Spirit is to do what? Make alive or quicken your mortal body by His Spirit that dwells where? In you. This is a job, a work of the Holy Spirit is to quicken or make alive your physical body. He does it really well. It's a big part of His work is to quicken or make alive your mortal body. If you've got parts of your body that aren't alive or there's a certain element of death in there, then the Holy Spirit's job is to remove that. And while we talk about liberties of the Spirit, and I think I've got that up next here. Let me see. Yes, turn with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Remember, this was one of our main scriptures in beginning to talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, right? All of these gifts of the Spirit, one of the gifts of the Spirit is what? The gifts of healings, right? One of the liberties, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You could almost say liberties, right? So when the Spirit of the Lord comes on someone with the gifts of healings, how is he going to manifest himself? In a multitude of twitchings. No. In healing. He's manifesting himself in a healing, physical healing for the physical body. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. See right here, 1 Corinthians 12. If you want to flip over there, I will talk about these quickly. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. But the manifestation or the visible open showing of the Holy Spirit is given to every man. What would the visible open showing of the Spirit be in a gift of healing? It would be a physical healing of a physical body, right? This is why we saw it so very much in Jesus' day, was because it was obvious. When you see a crippled man lying there, never had walked, got up and walked, pretty visible open show of the Holy Spirit. You could say, did you see the show? Yeah, I went to the show and there was a healing. Who was showing and doing what? It was the Holy Spirit. This says so right here. This is the Holy Spirit demonstrating himself through these gifts. All right, to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit. These are all ways that he works and manifests himself. Today I'm just kind of beating up on this one because the Holy Spirit's one of his main jobs is to manifest healing in your physical body. And if we look at the word gifts of healings, I always put an S on the end of there at this specific spot here in 1 Corinthians. They don't have the S, but if you don't believe me, go down and look at verse 28 of the same chapter. Chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 28, it says, "And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings." Look it up. Look it up in the Greek. It's the exact same word. They left the S off one. They put it on the other. I think the S needs to be there. Because when you learn that it is the Holy Ghost doing the work, that means it's not you doing the work, right? And I think we've misunderstood this in that when we say, oh, well, now I now have, because I've laid my hands on somebody and they were here, healed of some tumor or something, obviously I must have the gifts of healings, right? No. The Holy Spirit came and gave a gift of healing right then. It was his gift. And we all know this because we can stand on the Word of God and believe God for healing and have that sickness go away and diminish over time. We're commanded to do that. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. He didn't say they shall instantly be healed, right? It said they shall recover. That's faith. You lay your hands on them and believe that from that moment on, they shall recover. But a gift of healing or a liberty of the Spirit of God, when the liberty of the Holy Ghost comes on you and he gives a gift, wham, of healing, it's instantaneous. It is a gift of healing, right? And it's plural because there's not just one gift of healing. He does this over and over, all over the place. It's part of his work, part of his person is to give gifts of healings. Let me ask you, how is he able to do this? What gives him the right? It is Christ's body. Because Jesus bore sickness and disease, he now has the legal right to give gifts of healings as he will, which one of our scriptures says that. It's as he wills. All right, turn with me over to Luke 5 and verse 17. You are the body of Christ, all right? Jesus bore your sickness. This is discerning the Lord's body. And we're now talking about the Holy Spirit, whose job is to discern the Lord's body. And he gives gifts of healings many times, right? Let's see why sometimes there's a gift of healing that's received and sometimes there's some that aren't received. Do you know that's true? There can be a gift given and you not receive it. Did you know that? I could come up and give you a gift. Here's a brand new Harley Davidson, Alan. It's right outside for you. Now, Alan will go, yeah, I receive it. And he's off, right? But people do that. A gift is given. Many times, why aren't some people saved? Why? It's not that the gift wasn't given. The name of Jesus was given to all men. All who come to him shall be saved. The gift was given, right? All you got to do is receive it. Same thing with healing. The gift was given. Himself took our infirmities and bare away our sicknesses. Why isn't everybody healed? We have to receive. How do we receive? By faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. They went around and preached the gospel and people got healed. They preached the gospel, People heard the gospel, received the gospel, and got healed. You have to receive. Let's look at what something is happening here in Luke 5. Let me read this story. It was rather long, so I didn't type it out last night. Yay. I'll read from verse 15. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. What did they come to do? To hear and be healed. To hear and be healed. Remember, the Holy Spirit manifests himself in words. What happened? That grace came out upon them. They heard it. They responded. They received. They were healed. Some people have never heard that Jesus bore their sicknesses. They've all heard that Jesus bore their sins. Some people have never heard that Jesus bore their poverty. It's all in the gospel. He bore your sicknesses. You got to receive it. So much more went their fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching. Once again, what do you do when you're teaching? Was he teaching in sign language, or was he speaking words? He was speaking words. As he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. All right? Here's Jesus talking, speaking, preaching. And the Bible specifically says the power of the Lord was present. Why would it say that? Well, of course, the power of the Lord is present everywhere. No, it specifically said, and the power of the Lord was present, which means at other times the power of the Lord wasn't present. This is what we're talking about, the liberties of the gifts of the Holy Spirit coming on people. At that time, the power of the Lord is present to heal. Let me ask a question. Was anybody healed? Right then? No, right then, was anybody healed? The power of the Lord was present at this point in our story. Was anybody healed? No. Nobody was healed. The power, they could have just broke and had coffee and left. The power of the Lord was present to heal, but at that point, nobody had reacted or responded to the things Jesus said. Jesus spoke, power of the Lord came in. Where? Through what? Through his words. Settling in there with the doctors of the law and the Pharisees, and I guarantee you, they didn't even know he was there. They were like, huh? What's that? I will read on. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he, Jesus, saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins be forgiven thee. And the scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sin but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said unto them, what reason you in your hearts, whether it's easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk? Verse 24, if you haven't circled this in your Bible, you need to circle it. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto you, arise, take up your couch, and go into your house. And what? Immediately he rose up before them, took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. They were all freaked out by it. Even the Pharisees and the doctors. He said, Your sins are removed. What else should be removed too? This is the main part of that one verse I told you to underline. What should go away when sin goes away? At sickness's root cause is sin. That's how sickness got into the world. When Adam sinned, he died. He was subject to death. Sin and sickness go hand in hand. All right? Get the sin out, sickness should go out too, but most people don't receive that. Here we have a fine example of the power of the Lord being present to heal, somebody acting in faith on it and receiving healing. So even though the power of the Lord could be present, there still has to be the act of faith to receive. Right? Glory be to God. Acts 14, 7 through 10. And I think I'll be able to end with this. We will see here. Acts 14, 7 through 10. I really don't know, though. Because I really don't know what I'm going to say when I get up here. So, Acts chapter 14. Glory to God forever. 7 through 10. And there they preached the gospel. What did they use to preach the gospel? A lot of signs, a lot of cardboard cutouts. What'd they use? What's the regular way? It's not that you can't do that. I'm not knocking that. If you had a puppet show or something for kids, or you know, that's good. But what is the vehicle the Holy Ghost uses to enter into a person's spirit and change them? Yes, words. Words. The foolishness of preaching, the Bible calls it. Well, you look foolish. Thank you, because I'm just doing what the Bible tells me to do. Preach words. And those words go and they affect people, right? Look at what happened when they preached the gospel. There they preached the gospel, and there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. Let's stop right here for a second. Impotent in his feet. What does that mean? His feet were dead. His feet were dead. Yes, they still had blood flowing, but there was something wrong with his feet. His feet had an element of death in them. Impotent. They didn't have power in it. They needed power of life to come in them. The Holy Spirit's job is to quicken or make alive your mortal flesh. So as we begin to recognize and discern the discerning of the Holy Spirit, what is he doing here? Most people just blow it off. Oh, he's not doing anything. That was Jesus. No, they're not seeing what the Holy Spirit is doing. They're not discerning the Holy Ghost, right? Man, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak. The same heard Paul speak. What did Paul speak? He preached the gospel. How? I want to ask you a question. How did this man receive healing if in the gospel that Paul preached, it didn't contain the element of healing? If he just preached, oh, well, your sins will be forgiven and you will die and go to heaven, then it would have just said that the man heard the words preached of the gospel and he received his sins forgiven, was baptized, and then died and went to heaven. But it didn't. He heard him preach the gospel. There's the only way you can get faith is through hearing words. He must have heard that he could be healed. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on your feet," and he leapt and walked. The operation of the Holy Ghost here was to quicken the man's flesh. He manifested himself through words that the man believed and received. Right? Then what happened? A gift of healing came on that man, and the man was healed by a gift. It was a gift. You understand? He could have received healing over time by just continuing to believe the gospel, by continuing to hold fast the profession of his faith without wavering, for he was faithful to promise. By his stripes I'm healed. I believe I'm healed. Sickness, get out of my body. We have a right to do that. We are the body of Christ. Gives you the right to kick sickness out of your body. But this is a gift of healing. The power of the Lord was present to heal. Words were spoken that enabled the man to have faith. He received the Holy Spirit, and that gift of healing came on him, and he leapt and walked. Glory be to God forever. All right. One more scripture, and I will end with this. Glory be to God forever. I hope that you've seen how these things work together. We're talking about the person and work of the Holy Spirit. He is a person, and one of the things he works is to cause your body to be quickened. Right? Julia had a testimony of being delivered from cigarettes. Glory to God. The Holy Spirit quickened her and now is keeping her. Right? These are things that happen to us when the Holy Spirit quickens us, when we receive from him. All right. 1 Corinthians 2, 4 through 5. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. We began this series talking about our faith being in the power of God, right? And then we went on to talk about words and how he manifests himself through words. Now we've come full circle, realizing that this is how he demonstrates himself, is through words. How does faith come by hearing? How does faith come? It comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. This is how the Holy Spirit is manifesting himself through words. So much of the word of God is in Christ's atonement for our sin, Christ's atonement for our sickness. That's discerning the body of Christ. And when somebody preaches like this and says, hey, sickness has been born for you, you can be delivered of that. That should cause faith to come in you that you could receive healing for your physical body. And have a demonstration of the Spirit and power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Glory be to God forever. If you go, just one more thing here, just to bring this and to finish it. If you go over to the first chapter of 1 Corinthians. And verse 18, I think this fits here. I don't have it up on the board. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the what? It is the power of God. How can the preaching of the cross be the power of God? We've already established quite fully that the power of God is the Holy Spirit. He is the power of God. He is the active one in the earth today of God. And he says the preaching of the cross to us that are saved, that is the power of God. Right? The preaching of the cross. What happened on the cross? Jesus bore our sins. Jesus bore our sicknesses. And so the power of the Holy Spirit's job is to make that real to you. That's his number one job, is to make what Jesus bore for you real to you in your life and manifest in your life. Glory be to God forever. I believe I'll end right there. Father, thank you for your word. I ask you to seal this word in us today, Father. Forgive us of any sins that we may have. Let us embrace you, Holy Ghost, in this revealing of who you are and what you've done through Christ on the cross. We receive these things into our heart right now. We receive your word. We receive faith. And we believe that we are healed. We believe that we are delivered. We believe that we walk in a new life today by the power of the Holy Spirit and by the price you paid on the cross. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Amen. Glory to God.